Good morning, everyone. Did you get the device?
Yes.
Good for you. I wish I could have one. So my name is Yongju Park. I'm senior engineer at Samsung Electronics. And I give you presentations on the Tizen application core frameworks. Okay? So our contents will be like this. I'll give you a short introductions and our architecture, and then after that, I give you a brief review of the components in the framework. So there's one thing I want to make sure that the applicant core framework is not about the native application framework. It's all about all kind of the application that will be running on the Tizen platform. Okay. So the applicant core frameworks provides infrastructure in which each application works seamlessly in the platform. So it contains many common components that will be necessary to run applications, to develop applications. So it provides features like lifecycle management, launch service, event handlers, and launch history, and configuration data management, and installation and uninstallations. So all these things will be handled by each module that are existing in the core frameworks. So the overview here. So here's the core frameworks, and here's the Tizen applications. So each application can come as the individual applications, or there's a type that application come with runtime. For example, the web application will come with its own runtime. So if the EFL application, which is the in-house application, will be using directly this component, but web application will come with the runtime, runtime will be referencing real those components, okay? So here is our the main components, common components here, and I'll cover these components in the later slide. So there's so many components in the framework, and there's so many stuff going on in the frameworks, but I try to stay core components in the frameworks, okay? So application core, the app core. So this is core, so core means important. So at core is the application core handling various important events. So the thing is that when we're developing the application, we all use the app core. So I asked the colleagues that, what do you think about the app core? Can you define it? Then everybody said, it's core, very important, because we use it every day, so it's kind of hard to define what it is, because it's a core. But basically, it does provide the handlers or callbacks for lifecycle management and the system events. So it has default operations, the callbacks, create, reset, pause, resume, and terminate. And also it has provides handlers for system events like low memory, battery, and orientation change, language reason change. Okay, so we'll cover these steps in the coming slide. So here is the core internal callbacks. These are the predefined the operation that it defined in the core. So it is about lifecycle management. So when application being launched, when the process has been executed, then it first calls create. So during the create, developer can do initialize its application. Not visible stuff, it's initialize their application data that it would be necessary for the application for the period of the lifetime, and also the developer can create this window. Then after create, the app core start main loops. And in the first loop, it will call reset. Then during the reset, a developer can add source code during the initialize their visual state of the application. That means that if, when it comes to web application, during the reset, your web application maybe bring up the first page of the first URL of the web applications. Or if it goes to the other application, you may want to add some code during handling to visualize your first screen of your applications. And then pose here, if the window of your application has been fully obscured, then window manager give that information at core called pose callback. So during the pose, the developer can add some code that suspend the application's task. And the resume will be called when the application is visible again, then the user, the developer can add some source code that resume your application task. And then terminate will be called after exiting the main loop. It will be called the terminate. Then developer can add code like release your resource and prepare to normal terminations. Then after that, the application will be terminated. So here is the kind of a very important callback for lifetime management. So we are at the core, then we're going toward outside. So you kind of, we try to provide kind of a bigger view because it's beyond that core. So here's the application over structures. Regardless it's a web application or just the Apple application, it has this kind of stuff in there. Okay? In the center, there's a core, and around it, there's many module that has feeding some information about the information, you know, that was changed the state of the applications. So here is AUL, and here's a window manager, here's sensor framework, and system server here. App utility library is doing launching and terminating the applications. So the application utility library feeding that information that start your application, so then it called the reset. And then window manager report the state of the windows of that applications. Then if your window has been fully obscured by another window and then there's a stack changed, and then newly activated window is not the process of yours, then the core knows that and that will cause, it'll call pause or resume depending on which window has been activated. And the sensor framework here give the information about the device's orientations. So when the device orientation has been changed, then it calls this event handlers. And the system server gives the information about the battery status, memory, and length change. So those are information stored in the configuration data. And the system server changes the data in the configurations, and it detects it, and it calls these handlers. And there's for these events, Accord provides default handlers. So if your developer didn't explicitly define your handler for those events, default handler will be called automatically. So do you want to avoid or you want to define your own operation for those events, you may add explicit your event handlers. Then when main loops exit, then we'll call terminate, and then your application will be terminated. So I kind of try to linearly visualize the application life cycles. So when your application, your process hasn't broken executed, then as you saw before, the crate will be called, then you are in the created state, and then after that, your main loop will start beginning. Then the reset will be called, and then you are in the state of running. After that, depends on your windows or depends on the launch request, it going back and forth, pause and resume. Okay, and there's also the requests as is the launching request means that reset your application, go to the certain state. That means then it will call reset, which I'll explain later. Then after that, the terminal has been called, your application will be terminated. So it's kind of it's not that complex. It's very easy to see how your application life will be like. Then how to launch an application. So if a user want to do something with your device, it is all about the launching application. The user want to use certain feature, that means that you want to, your platform will need to launch a certain applications. For that, we provide the application utility library called AUL. So AUL provides the following features: launching and terminating applications, and provide currently running applications. So launching is kind of it could be simple launch, or it could be much more than that, because the latest slide I'll talk about the service launch, because I'll talk about later that thing, okay? And then there's a two key component in the AUL, this client library, and there's a daemon called Launchpad. So the client library, the AUL, will send and receive the request for launching or terminating, or daemon will handle that request. So here is the application A, there's AUL for that applications, and then when it comes to launch, let's assume that application B is not running at the time, then launch request will be given to the AUL with particular application name. So in this case, that launching the specific applications has been requested. So the application, the AUL daemon, which is Launchpad, will receive the request and retrieve that information from the DB. And then after retrieving that, then it launches that application and it will call reset. And then when the application A tries to launch application B, then if application B is already running, then in that case, the resume will be requested for application B. Then it receives it and it called resume callback in that applications. But the terminating is set. Terminating request will be given to the Launchpad. The Launchpad will call terminate. But the terminating request will be allowed to only privilege that process. Okay? And the PROC is here. So I told you that it provides current running applications. So whenever try to launch a certain application, when it does first retrieve the first current running application. If the running application is already there, then it calls resume. It's not there in the list, then your launch request will be given to the Launchpad. And one more thing here, the result is necessary. For example, you are composing email, you want to attach the photos. Then in that case, you probably push the plus button, then it will bring up, let's say, photo viewer applications. Then photo viewer application will be up by a launching request, and the user will select a certain photos. Then the file fast to the photo will be given to the application A as a result. So application will have a result, and then A will go on. So for that purpose, if the return is be necessary for the certain launch request, then result will be given to the application A. So in that case, during that launch, you will add callbacks to the Launchpad. Then you receive the callback function. You call the callback function in here. In doing so, you can send the results back to the application A. data exchange. If two different the application want to interact each other, then for that, we using the bundles. So bundle is a dictionary data type which has pair of the key and value, because what it does when we launch request, the developer is supposed to make a bundle and then add information and then pass the bundle to the other applications. Why we are doing this is that, for example, here's the if we want to launch an email application and want to directly going into the Gmail account and inbox, so inbox of the Gmail account, if without the bundle, we just using argument-based passing, then you just first argument you put Gmail, second argument to inbox, and so on. So using bundle, the order of the arguments doesn't matter. We just put account will be Gmail, and the folder will be inbox. In doing so, the applicant developer didn't have to worry about the order of the argument. They just retrieve the value by providing key. So the key will be given, will be promised. So by using key and using key, you can get appropriate the value upon that. So that's why we using the bundle for that purpose. And also, when you're giving back the result, the previous example, if the file pass to the portal will be given, then bundle will be like a file pass equals the directory will be passed to the application A, then application A will try to get value by just querying file pass. And then we have a launch. We officially support the single instance and the multiple instance applications. So you may want to explicitly that this application support multi-instance or not. So, but the most of the application is a single instance application in our platform so far. But anyway, you want your application make multi-instance, then you can do that. So when you launch an application, if the application is not running, it will launch an application. As I talked earlier, if your app is already running, then it'll send a reset event to the running application. And then your application is a multiple instance, then it'll launch an app regardless if it's running or not. So it's just fork in exec. So when application A to launch an application, certain application, then AUL send a launch request, then if the application is not running, then the feed will be start from here. So the process will be executed and create and then go stop. But application is already running it, then launchpad will call reset. Then the AUR handler in that application will call the reset callback in the app core. Do you grab the idea of the reset? What is a reset? What is a reset? Because reset means many things. Because reset, whenever we cast a certain application, then if the certain application is ready for certain service, then reset will be called. So there's a default first view of the application. There's another view for a certain view. So the reset, the reason is just to coming back to the life again, but reset means I trying to reset myself for the certain given service. So it's not, we try to start with a start when we before changing to reset. But if application A is running and then the launch request will be given to the application A, then it needs to, in that, and for that request, it needs to change to a certain state, then the start doesn't make sense. Then it means it's a reset. So it reset to the first initial view or reset to a certain view that has been requested. That's why we provide the name like reset here. And high-level application launch service, app service. So if one developed an application that needs a feature from the other application, for example, like the previous example, you want to provide the email application, then you want to make a, you need to prepare composing the view, and then by attaching the photos, then the, to attach the photo, then you need to know which application to launch. Because to add it, you want to add the photo, then you may need to launch the camera application. You may want to add photo from existing album, then you need to launch the image viewer applications. In that case, to launch the application, you may need to know the specific application name, but we don't want to do that because it's hard to know which application to launch. So that's why we provide the general service term like default, create, call, send, etc. So it says more desirable asking image view service without knowing what image view apps is available. So service is determined by the given operations. Operation URI MIME type. So operations says what service do you want. Do you want service view, edit, call, send? Or URI is where is your resource. And the MIME type says what kind of types of your resource and data, what extra data will we need to. So given the combination of this, then we provide the service. So there's a way your application subscribes certain service. So because the currently, desktop file has all information about your application's ability. So you can add your service to the desktop, then the platform automatically acknowledge that you are providing certain service, and then you can add the MIME type you support, then the platform automatically acknowledge that this MIME type has been supporting your applications. So when service has been requested, then we receive the operations and URI and MIME type. Then we search the application DB and then retrieve the application list to support those, the combination. Then in doing so, user can see that what application is available when it's trying to use certain service. So when the service has been requested, did app A send the service using app service, then AUL and retrieve which application need to be launched, then launch failure will receive that information and to launch that the service applications. Then they need to revert back, then bundle will be sent back to the caller applications. So how does it work? This is the overflow of app service. So it looks like infinite circle, but it is not. So caller application try to says send image, then operation send, and then the MIME type will be JPG and image. Then app service will retrieve the information from application DB. Then if there is a more than one application, then it is launched app selector application. So an app selector application show the user that supporting all those the services you requested. Then during using this interface, user can select the certain application to use, and then user can make that application as a default application for that service. Then the selected application will be given to this Color app, and then it will launch that Color app again here, and then service will be served, and then there's a result back needed, then it'll send the result back to the Color. So this is how app service works. So multi-tier for the service request. So when we install the application DB, then I told you before, the current desktop has all information about your application's ability. So we store that applications, and app B support this and support this, app C support this and support this, app D support this, and that. So we have all the informations. Then application A is send request operation will be send here, and the URI will be like this JPG file, this of RFK mine type is image. Then the AIL, which is the dealing with the application information, will find that application support these combinations. So here is application D, here is application B. Then the app selector that I talked about the previous this slide, app selector will be shown up. And there's a two different applications you can use for that. Then you just select one applications, then that application will be launched. At the same time, that app selector interface to provide that you want to make this default application, you can select the yes. Then after that, you don't see the app selector for that service. Just automatically that the selected default application will be launched after that. Here's a list of the services available, and then we follow that the operation type at for to the one of the data of the web intense format, because we are focusing on the web application. So the service operation has we kind of try to define as it looks like a web intense format. So you can see the list of the type of operation, just default, edit, view, pick. So you can see from the website available service later. So putting all together, we covered the launching service, app core, lifetime management. So we are putting together how the application will be launched. So here's a menu screen here, then menu user select icon, then touch the icon, then the menu screen try to launch the selected applications, then the call API will be called, and then the package name for that application and bundle will be given to the launchpad. Launchpad will execute the requested application. So this is a web application, right? So then the main will be called. During the main, the callback function will be registered, and then after that, the core EFL main will be called, because the internally web application using the web view, which is the EFL module here, so it calls EFL main, and then the reset callback will be called. Okay, so if this is not service, then it'll show that initial view of the web application, so rendering it the first view. If a certain service has been requested, then the service URL will be rendered here. Then after that, it start event loop, and the same thing. This block is existing in the web runtime. So web runtime will have a core interface here. So we have reset, pause, resume, and everything that we talked about earlier. So web runtime will referencing those callbacks, and then when the certain events happen, then it'll call a perfect callback for that event. After that, when the event loop being exited, then the web runtime will clear resource, and the application with a terminator. Installation on installations. So is package manager is responsible for installing, updating, and uninstalling application and storing their information. So currently, package manager is kind of having the expandable structures. So currently, we have a web application. We will have native application, if yes. And then we'll have Java application if it's possible. So for that, we are having kind of a expandable structures. So if there is a web application, then WRT, the backend installation module will be here. And if there is a Java application for that, then installing will be performed by Java, the backend installation modules. And if there's a native application, then native application installation module will be responsible for installing that. So the basic flow of the installation is like this. Here's a gray area. So we suppose we have market applications. And there is client library here. And the user needs to install certain applications. And the package has been downloaded already. Then the applications, the market application, request the cookie from the cookie from security server. The server publish that cookie to the application. Then after that, then send the request to the package server. Then package server will be given that the package information and the cookies here. Then cookie will be checked by the security server if the privilege is valid and the cookie is valid. Then the package manager server will invoke that corresponding the backend installation module. So if it is the web application, then web application installation module will be invoked. If it's native, then native will be invoked. So during the installation, then status will be broadcast by DBus signal. So if it's completed, then it's completed will be received the completed, and then its callback will be invoked in the applications. And then installation, during the installation, it stores desktop file, and then it stores information that has been retrieved from desktop and the application information DB here. So this is a basic the installation flow. When it comes to uninstallation, it's kind of a backward. It will be like a menu screen is here. So menu screen, you can go to the entering into the edit mode, and you press minus key on the applications icon, then you send the request uninstall. Then the application package manager server will receive that information, and then will call the backend module again. Then if the corresponding module will be responsible for the uninstalling those given applications. And application information manager, which is related to the previous package manager. So application information library, which is AIL, we call AIL, is library providing functionality regarding application information related tasks. So it does adding, updating, removing application information, and then managing application information, application name, type, path, exact path, and then retrieving application list, which means a given filter. For example, that at previous slide, there is a service, right? Then you want to retrieve that application list that support the service, then AIL will be used. So it will retrieve that application list. That filter will have that operation and MIME time, etc. Thus, given that filter, it will retrieve the application list. So how does it work? So it's a market application. It downloaded and then saved the package here. So we locally saved. and then trying to install by sending message to the package manager. Then package manager called the backend. For example, the runtime installer, web runtime installer, trying to install. Then it does installing that package using the already downloaded package. Then during the installing phase, the installer produced desktop file. When desktop file has been newly created or updated or deleted, then package manager will receive that event. Then it's been newly updated or newly created, then it receives that event, and then it updating or adding that application information to the AILDB. So those finally here will be used by AIL. Application use history. So the recently used application, the Lua, is kind of a library which helps log information use history. So it basically save the very latest launch history of certain applications. Not the old the use of application history, just the last launch history of each application have ever launched. So Lua provides information for the package name, launch time, application path, and application launch argument, which is saved in the bundle here. So Launchpad will update history, and the task manager can get or clear the history. So whenever you have device, whenever you open up the task manager will show the current running application. Back then, you will see also the history of that, the launch history. So because we saved the launch argument, so for example, you played video player back then you terminate the information, but argument has been saved here. So you try to launch the video player again from the history, then it will replay the media data that you played last time. So that's why we are saving the launch argument. So that's how we use application use history. That's about it. Any questions?
I have questions in Java. So when I install the Java app, will it just grab the necessary libraries from the JQ into the client's device?
I think the Java CAC is a type of a jar file. So if the jar file has been downloaded, we currently don't have a Java installer yet. Because we are saying that it has expandable structures. If we decide to support Java application, then we'll provide the installation modules. So then from there, we start having the flow of the installing the Java application. But from my view, if the jar file has been downloaded here, then the Java application, the backend module will install the jar file to the system.
Does the OS inherently has a JVM, or we have to install the JVM?
You install the JVM?
Yeah, in the device. So it needs JVM
okay.
to run the Java app.
Yeah.
So you have to explicitly
If you have, I'm not sure that you can use a command using the device that we distributed today. I'm not sure if you have ability to use command line, then you can definitely do the run the Java application in the device. But platform wise, we don't have the exact flow of the Java installation and running for now.
But in the future,
we streamline it. If we decide to support Java application, obviously, then we'll streamline.
Also, it's not decided yet.
Officially, our first application is web applications. So there, we are thinking about different options. So the Java is one of them. Can you come to the mics so everybody can listen to?
The TISE is considering only one user per device. One user is using the device at one time, right? Is there any chance to have control of many multiple users using the application framework?
The user means that
User ID application. I saw that in the architecture we have only one user ID application. Is that correct?
Yeah. Are you talking about the multi-user account for your device?
Yes. Is it possible?
Nothing's impossible in software. Nothing's impossible. Currently, we are a single-user model here. So if you want, there's so many things we have to take care of, because when it comes to multi-user, then security model should be changed, because we need to support each user and then provide a secure way to interact and then to save their data. So currently, we are just looking at the single user model, and then, but in the future, we may have the multi-user account, but at the time, for now, we are just supporting just a single user here.
Okay.
Anything else? Okay, then we'll be back on 9:50 for the next session.